Good morning, everybody. My name is Lisa, if you haven't met me already, and we're about to read the Bible together. And this morning's reading is from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 56. It's quite a long passage. But first, let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for giving us your word and for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you that we can read and learn not only about Jesus' ministry here on earth, but your divine plan for us to be united back with you. We pray that our hearts will be open and that the message that Chris gives us today will bring change into our lives. May we always remember and be thankful that we can find peace in the midst of chaos or any anxieties in the world when we rely on Jesus. Amen. Now, these stories, if you've read parts of the Bible or even heard at Sunday school, ones you might be familiar with the feeding of the 5,000 and when Jesus walks on water, which we just saw in the kids' spot today, giving us yet another glimpse of who this man Jesus really is. Okay, so let's begin. Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go around to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them all to have people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of fish, bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Jesus walks on water. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida, where he dismissed the crowd. And after leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed.
Thank you, Lisa. Good morning, everyone. How are we going this morning? Are we feeling good? Thumbs up if you're feeling you're doing okay. Excellent. Good to see a lot of thumbs up. Now, can I ask again, how are you really going? You don't have to answer this time. But I want to ask, how are you really going? Because we all know that we're living in chaotic times. So how are you going in the midst of that? How are you really? How are you emotionally? For some, you truly are going well, and that's a good thing. But actually, for a majority of Australians, 2020 was the worst year of their lives. 2020, it brought all sorts of chaos, which I don't need to go on about because you lived it. It might have been COVID-related, it might have been something completely different. But regardless, many of us have felt more out of control than we ever have in recent times. And that might still be you. And it has an emotional impact. Rachel Riemann says this, the expectation that we can be immersed in suffering and loss and not be touched by it is as unrealistic as expecting to walk through water without getting wet. That's true for any of us at any time when we face suffering and loss. We're immersed in it in different ways. But in a big way, this was true for all of us last year and into this year. We have all walked through the stormy waters, waters that remain troubled even now, and it's left us drenched. So for many, the sense of loss of control in their lives have led to an internal chaos. Mental health issues that have risen greatly during COVID-19, especially in the younger half of the population. Helplines are getting more traffic. Mental health professionals are being seen more and more. And that's just the people who are actually seeking help. For some, the empty stands of our stadiums have been a state of mind that has continued post-lockdown. Some are reluctant to show up in other people's lives, to show up at events, to show up at church, to show up at growth group. In the end, avoidance, it is another symptom of the stresses in our lives. For others, the lack of control disrupts our worldview and fear rises up in us, as the world seems scarier and scarier. And so that's been apparent through the rise in conspiracy theories out there. Have we seen that? Have we noticed that? Theories that seem at its peak in the USA, yes, but in this connected era, it bleeds over to this country, doesn't it? Christians have not been immune to this, as this article shows. Articles that show churches in this country have been fertile ground for conspiracy theories. Dwelling on conspiracy theories is another emotional reaction to the chaos. Looking for someone to blame for all that is wrong with the world. Looking to take down the sinister powers so we can get control again. And for some, it's just been a general feeling of exhaustion. So tired that everything just seems harder. These are just some of the many ways we can react emotionally and behaviourally to the sense of lack of control and the fear that rises up in us. When there's chaos around, it's impossible not to be impacted. So what can we do to combat the impact of these stresses in our life? How does understanding Jesus and who we are in Him, how does that help us? Well, let's hope it does. I pray it does today. As we dig into these passages today, let's look in the book of Mark and see what it tells us about who Jesus really is. And these stories, that they show us that, in fact, He is God the Creator, come to provide for us and bring the chaos of this world under His rule. If you were with us last week, you saw these stories of Jesus showing power over sickness and death, reaching into the chaos of broken lives and bringing about healing and restoration. Miracles that amazed everyone. And they were no doubt left with going, who is this Jesus? Is he just some miracle worker, or is he more than that? Does he come from God himself? And last week we also heard about the crowds jostling Jesus. And it's the same when we get to this passage in Mark 6. Jesus' disciples are so busy, so many people around them, they don't even have time to eat. So, and on top of that, we've just heard the sad news of John the Baptist being executed. So therefore, it's no wonder that Jesus says, let's get away from it for a while. Let's tap out and go away and have some rest and recuperation together. So they hop in a boat and sail off to get some respite. But these crowds of people would not be deterred. They run ahead of Jesus so that when Jesus and his disciples land, the crowds are already there. People hungry for more of Jesus, even if they don't fully understand who he is yet. Jesus sees these people that he's been trying to escape for a moment's peace, and his heart is moved. But it's not with frustration, it's actually with compassion. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Compassion. Compassion because he sees these people as lost sheep, the lost sheep of Israel wandering around in the wilderness looking for someone, something, anything that can help. There's a compassion here from Jesus that is more than just a simple pity. I'm no Greek scholar myself, but this word for compassion here speaks of a gut-wrenching compassion. It's the sort of compassion you feel when you hear about a family and their unborn child being run down by a runaway driver on Australia Day. It's a compassion that stirs you deep inside. This is the gut-wrenching compassion Jesus has as he sees this crowd of people so desperate that they will chase after Jesus into the wilderness, wherever it goes. Jesus has this compassion because he sees them as sheep without a shepherd. When we hear this statement, it actually harks back to a time in the past when the people of Israel were also in the wilderness. Back in the days of Moses, Moses led the people through 40 years of wandering through the wilderness. And it was coming time for him for the end of his life and looking for a successor to lead God's people, to shepherd them. And so Moses said these words, "May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." Here we see the first hints that this section of Mark is about understanding who Jesus really is. The Lord God had heard this request from Moses, and this remained on the Lord's heart over 1,000 years later. The people of Israel were still wandering in the wilderness. They were still lost like sheep without a shepherd. And so God sent them the ultimate good shepherd to help guide them. So, this good shepherd Jesus, he sees the lost people. He has this deep sense of compassion on them, and so he begins teaching them. So to shepherd them, so that they will no longer be lost, so they might know the way to go. But by now, it's getting pretty late in the day. And soon the needs of the people become more practical. They need to eat. So Jesus asks his disciples, "You feed them." All 5,000 plus of these people, feed them. That would be one mighty big sausage sizzle, and it would be mighty expensive. The disciples go, "What? That would take more than half a year's wages. We can't do that." The disciples are at a loss. So Jesus sends them out. He says, "Go find what we have." And they do. And all they can find among 5,000 plus people is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Look, the desperation of this crowd is so seen in this point because they've gone to chase Jesus and they haven't even stopped to pack a picnic basket. They haven't thought about their practical needs, like what we're going to have for dinner. They're off running after Jesus. And so here they are in the middle of nowhere and they don't have enough to eat. But this does not deter Jesus, who gets them to sit down on the grass, and he breaks this bread, and he gives thanks to God for food. And then the disciples start handing it out, and handing it out, and handing it out, and handing it out until they all ate and were satisfied. 5,000 plus people. What began with enough for a few ended up feeding the many. In abundance, overflowing, Jesus had rained down bread from heaven on them. And again, our minds might turn to another miraculous feeding in the days of Moses. Back then, the people were hungry too. All of the whole wandering nation of Israel were wondering where their next meal was coming from. And God promises, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. And he does, miraculously feeding this whole nation every day for 40 years. You see that God alone can create food out of nothing. Yet here was Jesus doing just that. Here was Jesus creating this food. And we can see that in that Jesus is more than just a man. We can see the very power of God to provide for his people, the lost sheep of Israel, having bread rain down from heaven so they can be satisfied. Jesus is God himself, come as a man, Lord of all creation, who has this gut-wrenching compassion for his people and is able to provide what they need. Jesus is God in the flesh. Something that would be reinforced by what happens next. Straight after this, Jesus gets the disciples to get back in the boat and sends them off while he goes up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, and the disciples are struggling. A storm has whipped up. Among them are seasoned fishermen, but this was a battle. And in the midst of this chaotic storm, they suddenly see this. Someone walking on the lake, walking on water. How can this be? Their immediate thought is, this got to be a ghost. The disciples are terrified. But then this figure speaks. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. This was no ghost. This was Jesus. Jesus, their teacher, Jesus, their leader, walking on water. Some more original Greek here. Jesus actually literally says, take courage, I am. Don't be afraid. In this statement, we hear Jesus declaring that he is the great I am. Yahweh, the God of the universe, is here. The great I am is with you in this storm, so you do not need to fear. And to reinforce this, Jesus climbs into the boat and immediately the storm dies down. This is Jesus not just able to walk on water, but command it. The storm bows to his will and the disciples are amazed. Jesus was doing what only God can do. In the book of Job, we read this, he alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. God alone can walk the waters, yet here was Jesus doing just that. In Psalm 65, we hear of God who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves. God alone can still the roaring seas, yet here was Jesus doing just that. Yet again, we see that Jesus is more than a man. In Jesus, we see the Lord of creation, the great I am who has been and always will be, the Lord God who can tread the waves, the Lord God who can still the waves. God the Creator come to deliver us and bring the chaos of the world under his rule. In the beginning of all things, our Creator God brings order from the chaos of the waters. And then throughout the Bible, we see the sea as a symbol of chaotic forces, full of untamable serpents like the Leviathan. But if we look to the end of days, in Revelation, we see this picture of God's perfect kingdom includes a sea of glass, waters stilled, perfectly clear, chaos no longer. For Jewish people, the seas were a picture of chaos, and even now, with all our modern inventions, the sea can still be chaotic. Has anyone out there been caught in the seas with a storm wailing around them? Myself, I'm not much of a boatie, because on the seas, my stomach, it easily mirrors the chaos of the ocean. And so for me and my stomach, I can see this picture of a calm sea as something beautiful and peaceful and restful. That's restful for my heart. I hope it is for yours too. Yet with all the Jews who first saw this, they did not fully understand. The disciples of Jesus were completely amazed. It shouldn't have shocked them, because previously Jesus had calmed another storm. Just look back in Mark 4. Yet this time Jesus went next level and he actually walked on these stormy seas. But their lack of understanding of Jesus, who Jesus truly is, has played out across both these stories. They did not understand the depth of meaning behind Jesus feeding loaves of bread to God's people in the wilderness. They did not understand the depth of meaning behind Jesus walking on stormy seas and stilling those same seas. It would take the Holy Spirit being poured out on them to fully understand. It would take another walk that only God could walk. The purposeful walk to the cross that Jesus takes across the rest of the book of Mark. A walk that Jesus takes because he has that gut-wrenching compassion for his lost people. Yes, even us. A walk that Jesus takes because he knows it is the only way to bring peace to the chaos of this broken world. Yes, even the chaos of our lives. A walk that Jesus takes because it is only if God himself dies on the cross can there be forgiveness for sins. Yes, your sin and mine. And it's a walk that Jesus takes because once all that is accomplished on the cross, the Lord of creation himself will defeat the final bringer of chaos, death. Jesus will rise again to bring hope of new life. Yes, even to us. Jesus will rise so that the eternal picture of calm seas can be the future for God's people. Yes, even for us. Jesus will pour out the Holy Spirit on his people so they can fully understand who they are in him. Yes, even we can understand. So do you see? Do you understand? Do you feel this? Jesus the man, but so much more than a man. Jesus, God himself, come in the flesh. Jesus, the great I am. Jesus, Lord of creation, with complete power over what he has made. Power to provide for his people. Power to bring peace into the chaos. We've been confronted with the storms of life recently, corporately, individually. We have felt out of control, and some definitely more than others. And as we have been confronted with this sense of lack of control, our emotions can follow suit. So what should we do?
We need to come back to Jesus. Jesus, God Himself, who has come to bring us all we need. We need to listen to Jesus, who says to us, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Listen to Jesus, who says, "Take courage, I am, don't be afraid." As followers of Jesus, we need to understand that lack of control actually should not be a big issue for us. We've never actually been in control. We actually don't need to be in control. Jesus is the one who is in ultimate control of all things. Yes, even us, even our lives, even the chaos that we see around us. He will bring an end to that chaos in His own time. And we need to trust Him to do that when He wants, not when we want, in His timing. We shouldn't fall for the world's lies that if we get all the right things in place, like all the things on this list, then we'll be fine. These are things that the world tells us we need to be in control. Tick off the right boxes and all will be good. Unfortunately, we in the church can also fall for that lie. And we can chase after these things, believing we can be in control as well. But you can actually have all these things and still discover that control is an illusion. We can be rocked by an illness, financial disaster, pandemic, a death, and suddenly we realize we're in the middle of the storms of life. We're out of control and chaos is reigning. Jesus never promises to stop the storms coming. He knew a storm was going to whip up that night, and yet He still sent His disciples out on the lake. Jesus doesn't wrap us in bubble wrap and protect us from the storms in that way. He lets the storms come, but wants us to turn to Him and not ourselves in the midst of the storm. Brothers and sisters, the storms will come, but Jesus says, "Take courage, I am, don't be afraid." He wants us to learn to trust Him no matter what. He wants to grow us as we trust Him, as we learn to trust Him in the storms of life. There's a question for you. How is God growing you through the difficult times? I've seen people in this church grow immeasurably through difficult times. Can this be you too? Because God is with us. Jesus is with us. And He wants to work in us through the storms of life. He wants to grow us, to trust Him more every day. And so we have some more questions. Have you been tempted to tap out? Have you been absent from people more than you used to be? Look, if that's you, listen to God's word, encouraging you to not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Meeting together is good for us emotionally as well. It helps us trust Jesus through it all as we meet with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you fear the sinister forces in this world? We need to listen to Jesus, who tells us not to fear, because He is with us and will uphold us. He will never leave you or forsake you. Rather than spending endless hours going down the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories, we need to prioritize spending time dwelling on the endless truths of God's word. Resting in His presence, knowing that He is God and He will ultimately stop all evil in its tracks. Are you anxious about everything you see in your news feed, even if the news isn't on Facebook anymore? You need to cast all your anxieties on your Lord. who has a deep compassion for you, his precious child. You need to spend time with God in prayer so that the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. Jesus spent deliberate time with God the Father. At the start of this passage, we saw this, an example of this. We should follow Jesus in this. As followers of Jesus, we should follow our Lord's example. Spend time with God. Cast our anxieties on Him. And if your mental health issues are really debilitating, maybe you should have the help of brothers and sisters to help you find the right caring professionals. Are you feeling exhausted by all the chaos? You need to come to Jesus, who will give you rest for your weary souls. Whatever emotional reaction we're having in this time where we sense this lack of control, the solution can be found in Jesus. Can I challenge you this week to spend some time with God? In the midst of the chaos of your life, set aside half an hour at least and read through Psalm 23. Meditate on it, line by line. Marvel at all the connections with these passages we've just read in Mark. But even more, rest in the peace that only God can bring. Be refreshed by realizing that Jesus is our good shepherd, who provides peace and satisfaction for us now and into eternity. And as this peace flows to us like a never-ending stream, we can then go out into this chaotic world and live lives, such different lives in the world around us, that people see the hope in us, see the calm in us, and they can be drawn to come to know this same God who gives us this peace. In a chaotic and panicked world, we can live differently to the fearful and anxious responses we see around us. There are amazing opportunities in this chaotic time to be representatives of our gospel, of our God, our Jesus who gives us peace. We're going to sing "It Is Well" in the moment. If we can sing that and mean that, won't that be a witness to the world around us? To those who are in the midst of the storms of life, but they have no hope, they haven't got Jesus yet. It's a great opportunity for us to be out there living such different lives that God can become known to those who don't know Him yet. Opportunities that will flow if we stand in the midst of this chaos, if we stand calm and confident and hopeful through faith in Jesus. Jesus, Master of the waves. Jesus, Lord of all creation. Jesus, the great I am. Jesus, God in the flesh. Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, our Redeemer. Jesus, our future hope. Jesus, our peace. Let's pray we can live this out. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that in these stories we see Jesus is so much more than a man. He is God Himself come in the flesh. We see Jesus' deep compassion for us as lost children, lost people of God. We see Jesus as this good shepherd come to teach us and to bring us into a life full of Him. So Lord, as we go out and we confront these storms of life, which will still come, help us know that you, Lord, will still be with us. You tell us to not fear the storms. Don't be afraid, because you are there with us in the midst of them. Lord, help us live in that. Help us take hold of that and be calm and be confident and hopeful, knowing that you've got us no matter what happens. That we have a sure and certain hope, an eternal hope that will last beyond all the chaos of this life, even our own deaths. Lord, you will take us into an eternal rest with you, eternal peace with you. So, Lord, help us live that out. Help us be your people in this world to represent you well in that, so that we can sing, "It is well," truly mean it, and be a witness to you to a world who needs to know you in the midst of the storms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.